Hebrews chapter 11, and let's all stand. Great to be in youth conference tonight. Hebrews chapter 11, please stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 11, it's a great and an exciting time to be in church this evening, and we're going to jump right into the Word of God. Now, I know you've been traveling, and I know you could be distracted, but we want to make sure we get everything from the Bible that we're supposed to get this evening. All right? Y'all believe the Bible, right? Hold your Bible up in the air. Let's get radical. Let's see. You got it? Absolutely. And if you don't have one, look on with someone who does. No texting, no Instagram, no Fortnite. No, come on now. Yeah. We're in the Bible. Thank God for the Bible. It's awesome to have the Word of God. So we're going to jump right in tonight. I want your undivided attention. Now, I've already walked through underneath of this church auditorium, and there is a chicken smell down there that will just blow your mind. All right? I've already smelled it, and you're going to be there. But we're not there yet, and if you don't pay attention, we're not going to let you eat. Right? There we go. So you better get your game face on, and we're going to jump into the Bible. I'm so thankful. Hebrews chapter 11, and I want you to follow along as I read. I begin in verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. Father, it's such a privilege to stand in this place and to preach the Word of God. Lord, I thank you for the history of this church. I thank you for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do here at Crossroads. Lord, we thank you for all these years of youth conference, the souls that have been saved, the lives that have been changed, the people that have been at it here and helped and blessed. And Lord, I pray that you would meet with us tonight. Lord, I know it's the first evening, and it'd be very easy for the young people to be distracted. I pray that the sweet Spirit of God would arrest our attention. I pray the Word of God would be quick and powerful in our hearts. Lord, I pray you'd help me not to waste any words. I pray I would only speak what you want spoken. And Lord, I pray that you'd get all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. We do pray for Pastor Mike tonight. I pray you give him strength, help him. Pray for anyone in this room not feeling well. You give them grace for the service time. Lord, I pray you would bind our adversary, the devil, and keep him off this place. And I pray that Christ would have all the preeminence here this evening. I pray if there's anyone not saved, that they get saved. And for all who are saved, that we get helped. Lord, please help the young people to focus. And I pray again in Jesus' precious and holy and wonderful name, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Moses is a great man of God in the Bible. Give me your attention. Stay right with me. When you go to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, we sometimes call it the Hall of Faith. And with the theme in context, you can think about the idea that Hebrews 11 lists some spiritual superheroes. These were some men and women that knew God and were greatly used by God. And we just read of one, Moses. And Moses is a giant in the Word of God. Now, let me just make clear, Every man at his best is still just a man. But Moses was a man of God. And young people, I want you to look at this story of Moses this evening. I want you to go to verse 27 in particular. If it's your habit to mark your Bible, I'd like you to mark a statement here. And it's the title of our message tonight. It's the point I want to drive home. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 27, the Bible says, "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." And I'd like you to mark those three words. He forsook Egypt. Would you mark those words, please? He, Moses, he forsook Egypt. Now, in the Bible, and I know you've heard this before, Egypt is a type of the world. Egypt is a picture of the world. And it's a great statement in the Word of God. Here, speaking of Moses, he forsook Egypt. We could say it this way: Moses turned his back on the world. We could say it this way: Moses abandoned the world. Moses was not loving the world. Moses was determined to be leaving the world. And if we're in love with the world, it's proof that we don't love God. Did you hear what I just said? If we're in love with the world, it's proof that we don't love God. I don't stereotype teenagers. You're a bunch of rebels. You're all worldly. I don't believe that. I would dare suggest probably the vast majority of the young people in this room are wanting to live for God. But listen, we all have to be careful that we don't end up in love with the world. Instead, like Moses, we need to make this choice. He forsook Egypt. Moses made a choice. Are you listening now? The Christian life is full of very important choices. The older you get, the more you need to be paying attention to your choices to make sure that your choices line up with the Word of God, and your choices are going to have a great impact on your destiny. Our goal for every one of you is to have a great judgment seat of Christ. Someday, listen, you're going to stand before the Lord. Did you hear what I just said? You're going to stand before the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Are you preparing to meet God? All right, you say, "Well, but I'm young, I'm a teenager." You know, that's down the road. Let me just tell you something. We've buried teenagers before. You have no guarantee of a long life. And even if it is a technically long life, it's still going to go by so quickly. Because the Bible says our life's a vapor. It appeared for a little while, it vanisheth away. And the Bible says we're to number our days and we're to apply our hearts unto wisdom. We spend our years as a tale is told. So here's the point, young people. Your life is flying by. You need to make the right choices. And Moses is a great person in the Bible for you to study because he made the choice to forsake Egypt. Marvel. I marvel when you consider Moses and the opportunities that he had to be part of the world of Egypt and all that that would have meant for him, enjoying Egypt for just a short time on earth. And instead, he made this fantastic choice. He forsook Egypt. How did he do it? How did he make that choice? He said, "Wait, just decide it." No. What was behind Moses making the choice to forsake Egypt? Well, if you would look, please, in Hebrews chapter 11 and go back to verse 1, the very beginning of the chapter. And I don't know who's running sound. Give me all you can without a ring. All right, you guys are doing great up there. My voice is weak, and I would appreciate, help me out. Don't make me work too hard. It might just be a monitor thing. And by the way, you're doing great. God bless the sound man, right? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, faith. Help me. What's the word now? Faith. Everybody, what's the word? Faith. Faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is this strong belief in the promises of God. Faith is something so strong. Look at the statement. It's the substance of things hoped for. The substance is the idea of it's a something that you can, in your spirit, it's like you can put your hands on it. It's something that's very real to you. Now, hope, Bible hope, is not like, "Well, I hope I win the lottery." Hope is a confident expectation in God. Everybody help me now. Faith is a confident expectation in God. Together, ready? Faith is a what? Confident expectation in God. Faith is the substance. Now listen, it's like you can grab it with your hands, but it's in your spirit. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's this confidence in God, and faith is what gives us our confidence in God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Please notice the rest of the verse. The evidence of things not seen. Faith is a substance so strong in your spirit that it becomes an evidence. Please notice again. Faith is the evidence. Listen, it's the proof of things not seen. So in our Christian lives, our faith makes things real. Are you listening? You say, well, I can't see faith. Yeah, but you can feel faith. Faith is your confidence in God. Faith is your belief in God. Faith is your trust in God. Young people, the devil wants to attack your faith. The devil wants you to doubt. Brother Kenny, you know this is true. We're meeting up with people, young people raised in church, having doubts as to whether the Word of God is really the Word of God. There are people raised up in our type churches, and they're flipping tassels at high school graduations and walking away from everything that they had been taught. Young people, let me just tell you with confidence, the Bible is the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You need to get a strong grip on the Word of God so that you have a strong faith in Jehovah God. The Bible has got to be real to you. Too many people are in your phone and you're not into the book. The more you get into the Bible, the more the Bible will get into you. You're never going to have a strong faith unless your Bible's strong, unless your Bible heavy. If I put you on the spot, I made you stand and you had to be honest in church. How much Bible have you read in the past week? What would be your answer? Listen, I'm not here to beat you to death, but there's a problem in your life if you're not getting into the Word of God. So I'm just a teenager. Teenagers need to be Bible heavy and Bible strong, because the Bible will build your faith. In the balcony, the Bible will build your faith. And you've got to be men and women of God who are in the Word of God, and it will build your faith. And Moses was a man that had great faith in God. Notice verse 6. Please notice. I turned the page. There we go. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is, what's that next word? Impossible. Now time out. Think about that. God wrote the Word of God, and he said without faith, it is impossible to please him. How many of you want to please God? Say amen.
Amen.
You can't unless you have faith. So faith, our confidence in God, our trust in God, is built on the Word of God. And you're never going to make the choice to forsake Egypt, to forsake the world, unless you have a great faith in God based upon the Word of God. Listen, I could stand here, and I'm not against illustrations, and I'm not against stories, and I'm not against humor, and that's all good, great, and wonderful. But I believe we're living in a day and an age where we better get some young people that get a little bit more sober-minded and say, you know what? I can handle more than just milk from the Word. Give me some meat. Are you listening? Now, some of you are brand new in your church, and you're just learning the basics. I am thrilled for you. I'm excited for you. But some of you that have been raised up in church, listen now, and you're not deep into the Word of God, you're not going to have a deep faith in God without being deep in the Word of God. We've got to get some young men and young women that, again, are centering yourselves in the Word of God. And Moses had a great faith in God. Question, scale 1 to 10, 10 being the best. What number would truly define your level of faith? Moses made a decision. Please go back to 23. By faith, Moses. We're seeing here, listen, I'm going to talk about he forsook Egypt. But what was going on is that Moses had a great faith in God that was the foundation for his decision. Do you know why so many young people will come to a youth conference come all around this altar. I've been here 16 years watching people come and kneel here. You know the difference between those who made a decision and then stuck to it? It was the people that got into the Word of God and made their decision based on the authority of Word of God. And it caused them to have a hope in God, a confidence in God. And they weren't easily shook. They had a strong foundation. So you can't just sit here and say, oh, okay, he forsook Egypt. Okay, I'll do it. Not unless you're going to base your decisions for what you're going to do upon the authority and the instruction of the Word of God. But how did he do it? By faith. By faith, Moses. Please follow along here. Verse 23. When he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. They saw he was a proper child. But tell you, how come you think Moses forsook Egypt? Can I give you this thought? Moses forsook Egypt, I believe, because he knew God had a special purpose for his life. God had a special purpose for his life. Pick up verse 23 again there. And the Bible says Moses was a proper child. Why don't you mark that? They saw he was a proper child. You remember what was going on. All the babies of Israel were going to be killed. All the Hebrew boys, they're being killed. But Moses was here a proper child. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 20, the Bible says he was exceeding fair. He was exceeding fair. Watch me now. Stay with me. Moses was a beautiful baby. You say, well, why do you think the Bible describes him as exceeding fair and a proper child? You remember the story when Pharaoh's daughter found him? You remember that? And in the bulrushes and that little ark there and picked him up? Brother Ty, why do you think he was a proper child? Why do you think he was exceeding fair like that? Because listen, when he got picked up by Pharaoh's daughter, he was such a beautiful little boy that she was taken with him. She fell in love with him. And God made him, watch me, a specific way in his appearance to help capture her heart so that he would have his life spared. Now, I don't know if some of you are going to get what I just said, but it's important for a reason. You say, well, that must be me since I'm so fine, I'm so beautiful. You know, God made me like Moses. Maybe. But let me just go ahead and remind all of you, God has a special purpose for your life. And we've got to get back to having young people understand you're not here on earth just to take up space, just to put your time in, just to float downstream like a dead fish. Listen. There's a God in heaven who knows your name, who made you for a purpose, and God doesn't want you to waste your life. He wants you to use your life for His glory, finding your purpose. Moses knew. He heard the story as he grew up about how he had been spared, and God and his parents worked together to spare his life. He was spared from physical death for a purpose. But thank God we've been saved from spiritual death, and it's for a purpose. All the billions of people in the world, and some have never heard the name Christ, and here it is, you've been saved. You've been born again. You're a child of the King. Hey, I got saved at 8 years old. Bless His holy name. I'm thankful for the drug addict. I'm thankful for the drunk that gets saved. But I got saved at 8 years old, and God's kept me from all types of trouble, and God spared me, and God saved my Catholic mom and my lost dad, and He came to our house and gave me a purpose and gave me a reason. And I'm not here on earth just to put my time in. Thank God I wake up every morning with purpose. So many young people. I'm just kind of here. Listen, you need to get into the Word of God so you can get a strong foundation of faith and you can wake up every morning with a purpose, with a determination that I'm going to make my life count for God. I don't want you to get to the judgment seat and God look at you and say, what did you do with what I gave you? I saved you. I gave you opportunity. And you just kind of threw it aside. You took your talent and you buried it. Young people, look at me. You have gifts. You have talents. You say, but I come from a broken home. Brother Justin, stand up, please, if you would. Our youth pastor, mom and dad divorced, public school graduate. Are you listening? The youth pastor of Solid Rock Baptist Church. Stop using your family life as an excuse for not stepping up for the Lord. You can do it. Absolutely you can. Every young man, every young lady, you say, oh, well, you know, Brother Child, you're a preacher, and you know, you're Iron Man, and you know, no, watch me. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God, and God's not a respecter of persons. Are you listening? Come on now. You say, well, I'm this color. Listen, it's not red and yellow, especially right, white. Did you hear what? Red and yellow, black and white, they are all precious in His sight. Well, I don't have a lot of money. I don't get the clothes like some others. It's not about your income. Listen, it's not about how tall you are, short you are, all this stuff that we look at and think's important. God made you exactly the way you are. And Moses, at an age, realized, hey, God has a purpose for my life. Have you figured out your purpose? Are you looking? Are you hungry? Are you thirsty for the will of God? Listen, we're living the dream. That's not just happy talk. That's not just making noise. No, listen, I'm living the dream. I'm 50 years old. I'm an old head now. I've got my wife. I've got my three daughters. We got our dog, Rocky. I've got clothes for my back, food for my stomach. Are you listening? They don't have to drag me out of bed. I don't have to set an alarm even. You say, why? Because I've got purpose. I've got energy. I've got drive for the work of God. How you living? How you living? Listen, I'm telling you tonight, God knows your name. God knows where you live. God wants to do something big with your life. Why would Moses forsake Egypt? Because he knew God had something bigger for him than Egypt. Talking about the world and living for the world. Moses forsook Egypt because he knew God had a special purpose for his life. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. What's that? God's purpose. Day to day and again centered on the word of God. Young people, I was 14 and I was in a youth conference. And a preacher preached and I didn't know all of what it might mean, Brother Brian, but I went down. I came down off the stairs from a balcony. Are you listening? I surrendered while I was sitting in the balcony. Come on now, stay awake up there. And I hit the altar, bottom of the stairs, about as far as I got. And young people, here's what I said at 14. I said, Lord, whatever you want, whatever you want in my life, that's what I want to be willing to do. At 15 years old, a preacher, Brother Dwight Thomas, was preaching at our church, and God knocked on the door of my heart and said, I want you to be a preacher. Now, I don't care if you're a preacher or plumber, as long as you do God's will. There's laymen in this church that worked hard all day long and showed up here tonight, and some of them are ushering and doing all that they're doing here tonight, and the ladies here, and they put money in the offering plate, and they helped to make this youth conference go. Are you listening? I'm thanking God for the members of Crossroads Baptist Church, and I'm thanking God if you become a member of your local church, but if you are, you want to be a Sunday school teacher, a bus captain, a soul winner, somebody that helps vacuum the auditorium. Are you listening? You need to figure out what God wants to do with your life. And be open to the will of God. And I believe with all of my heart, Moses heard the story. Listen, Moses, there's a reason. There's a purpose. God spared him. You ever stop? You ever stop and think about the billions of people in the world that don't know Christ? Young people, listen to me. There's people tonight in mosque, very close to this place right here. Are you listening? There are people in Buddhist temples. Are you listening? My mom was Catholic. I mean, hardcore, all in. I was Christian Catholic. I could have been raised to become a Catholic priest. Thank God, listen to me, we're no better than those people that are in those dark religions. Thank God we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ based on fact of His grace in our lives. And He didn't save us just to take up space. He's got reason for your existence. He's got purpose for your existence. And Moses forsook Egypt because he knew God had a special purpose for his life. Not only that, please look at verse 27. Moses forsook Egypt because he wasn't afraid of the wrath of the king. Please notice verse 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt, notice the statement, not fearing the wrath of the king. Moses had more faith in God than he had fear of Pharaoh. Moses, I believe, go pick up verse 23. Would you notice it again? By faith, Moses, parents that are here tonight, would you notice this? 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his who? Parents. Why? Because they saw he was a proper child. And please notice, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. For all you parents, let me just say this. I love the fact, and I think Moses was great in verse 27 in not being afraid. He wasn't afraid of the wrath of the king, but I think he learned that from his dear mom and dad that weren't afraid of Pharaoh back in the day. You say, what's that mean? Fearless parents tend to raise fearless children. I believe that. You think about Miriam. She went and spoke to Pharaoh's daughter. You think about Aaron and Moses together before Pharaoh. Are you listening? We need some moms and dads here tonight that'll set an example of fearlessness. Hey, we're not to be afraid of the devil and the things of the world and the people. Well, what if they come in here and get us? Hey, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and a power and of a sound mind. And Moses wasn't some coward. Moses stepped up. Where are the young people in this room tonight that instead of you being afraid of all the world's system and all the world's powers and all the stuff that's out there, listen, you don't need to be afraid of serving God. Some of you are so afraid of your friends that for you to make the decision tonight to forsake Egypt, for some, you'd have to forsake the person you're sitting next to. That's the truth. Now, I don't know who you are, and I'm not trying to beat you to death. But I'm telling you right now, we've got too many young people that are acting intimidated and afraid. We're not to be intimidated and afraid. We're to be bold for the Lord. The righteous, Proverbs 28:1, are bold as a lion. You know what you need to do? You need to find your roar. Roar for God. Well, I don't know, serving Jesus. Listen, get out of the closet. Take a stand for God. Let's get some young men, some young ladies. You're not trying to hide the fact that you're a Christian. You're a bold ambassador for Christ, not in pride and arrogance, but faith has motivated you, moved you to let it be known, hey, I'm not going to let the world stop me from serving Christ. Was 2018. I don't care what year it is. God didn't fall off the throne. God's not sick. God's not dead. God doesn't have a headache. And if he gave Moses courage, he can give you courage. I go to public school. Carry your Bible. I go to public school. People laugh at me. So what? Let them laugh. Go ahead and stand for God. You need to do that. And Moses was a man who forsook Egypt. Because he wasn't afraid of the wrath of the king. Where are the real young men in this room? Well, you know, dude, I'm a bad, bad man. Not if you won't stand for Christ. If you won't, hey, let me say something to you young ladies. Listen to me. Oh, he's so fine. He's so handsome. He's so cute. He is this, that, and the other. If he doesn't have a courage to stand for Christ, you need to walk away, not towards. Not towards. See, here's the thing. Some young men, God help us. I hope we don't have any like this in here, Brother Kenny. But there'd be some young men, they'd be real bold to walk up to some of you ladies. Yeah, come on now. They got the phone out, getting digits. Come on now. They're rolling it, dropping game all over after the first chicken meal. Absolutely. And they're getting with it. And they're all bold. Hey, they're all brazen. They'll walk up. They'll get right up in your face, talk to you, sniff your perfume. Let me say something. Those guys that are like that, come on. They're like that, but they won't take a stand for God. They won't carry their Bible. They won't go out and witness for Christ. You can't find a gospel tract in their hand ever. Get away from those type boys. Moses was courageous. Moses took his stand. Where are the young people that will take your stand for God? He wasn't afraid of the wrath of the king. Next, please notice 24. I'm moving right along. 24. Why did Moses make the choice to forsake Egypt? By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Well, that's Pharaoh's daughter's son. And he reached a point and he said, no, I'm not. But Charlie, why did Moses make a choice to forsake Egypt? Because watch this, young people. Because he knew he wasn't an Egyptian. You know what we need? We need some Christian young people who have been saved to look in the mirror and say, listen, I am not an Egyptian. Now, if you're of Egyptian descent, born in that country, God bless you. But what I'm talking about is this. We need some, anybody in here tonight Egyptian? You're probably taking this message hard. But listen, here's the thought. We've got Christian young people with identity crisis. If you're saved, watch this. Live like it. Look like it. Oh, they gave Moses an Egyptian haircut. Come on now. Back in the day, they would have been putting makeup on them. Come on, you've seen those old Egyptian pictures, you know, with the black eyeliner and whatever. Come on. Nothing new under the sun. They're teaching him Egyptian language. Did you hear what I just said? Hey, they were playing Egyptian music. Don't turn me off. Come on now. We'll preach till midnight. We'll let the adults go home so they can go to sleep. But listen, Egyptian music, Egyptian entertainment, Egyptian clothing, Egyptian, listen, everything about it, they're trying to convince him he was Egyptian. But the Bible says when he was come to years, hey, when he was old enough to make his own decision. You know how old you are? You're old enough. You've come to years. You're old enough to say, I am not an Egyptian. I am not part of this world. I am not somebody that's going to go out and look like and act like and think like and behave. We need a revival of Christians who want to be Christians. Salt of the earth. Light of the world. Difference makers. Where are you? You need to get your youth department and say, as for me and my friends, we will serve the Lord. Come on now. Find your spine. All you boys, sit up straight for right now. Just come on, get up. You just look better that way. Come on, yeah, absolutely. We need some young people that want to identify with Christ and say, I'm a Christian. To be a Christian means to be a Christ follower. To be a Christian means to be Christ-like. Why are we? Listen, I'm not an Egyptian. I'm a Christian. Do you see what I just said there? There's a difference. I'm not of the world. I'm of the Lord's army. How you live? And Moses made the choice when he was come to years. Listen to me. Hey, some of you going into your senior year or just finished it, and you're 17, 18 years old, you need to find your voice. You need to find your spine. You need to make this choice if you haven't already. Tonight, I'm not an Egyptian. Next, quickly, 25. Notice, Moses, how did he make this choice to forsake Egypt? 25, Moses forsook Egypt by refusing to take the easy path. Think with me. 25, choosing rather. Please notice. Chicken's coming, but not yet. Stay with me. 25, are you there? Choosing. Everybody help me. What's the word? One more time. What's the word? Choosing. Now think about it. What are you saying? Choosing. Choosing rather. Choosing rather. Do you see what this says here? Choosing rather to suffer affliction. Jesus did not say, take up your pillow. He said, take up your cross. Where are the young people willing to suffer for the cause of Christ? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Oh my, I love the people of God. Are you listening? I love the people of God. Brother Kenny, this is my crowd. Come on now. We get together. We don't get to spend a lot of time with each other. He's busy. I'm busy. We get together, and it's tight, and it's on, and it's right away. You guys here hanging out here tonight, you my friends. Amen. I don't know that old head. Listen to me. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Y'all are my sisters. These are our people. These are the people of God. I don't want to go out and find out what they're doing out there. I'm happy in here with the people of God. And if you're going to be with the people of God, it's not always going to be easy. See, in Egypt, Moses had people that would just bring the food in for him. Are you listening? And he probably had some ladies that stood over his bed and just with a little fan had it going on. Come on, listen right there. Yeah. You know, if he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he had an awesome swimming pool. Are you listening? Come on, think about it. He's a big dog. He's a prince in Egypt. He had the best food. He had the best clothing. He lived in the best. He lived in the best house. He had it all. But young people, when he was come to age and he looked and realized, I'm not Egyptian, he said, I'm making a choice. I'd rather suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for season. Moses, now in heaven, has no regret about there was a day when he chose to stay with the people of God. Young people, I could tell you stories, including young people that used to be here, that they've gone out in the world. They're full of regret. But you'll never regret following Jesus. You'll never regret choosing the people of God. You'll never regret sticking with the Bible. Make your choice tonight. Well, I don't like that suffering thing. Keep your marker here. Go to 1 Peter 2 quickly. 1 Peter 2, sword drill style. 1 Peter 2, you're doing great. Verse 21, 1 Peter 2, 21, thanks for turning. Please notice, for even hereunto were ye called. Now that's a strong Bible word. Were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us. Why? Leaving us an example. Why? That ye should follow his steps. Young people, 2,000 years ago, there was a man named Jesus. And listen, he let them beat his body. And they tore his beard from his face. And they put nails through his hands. And he became the propitiation, the satisfactory payment. He put one hand down, fellas. And they didn't take his life. He gave his life. He was the strongest man. He was the greatest man. He was the God man. And when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He knew I'd live. He knew I'd die and go to hell if he didn't take my hell. Thank God he suffered. But he did it to give you an example. That you should follow his steps. Young people, come on. Won't you please, please, please serve God? Please, please, please serve. Oh, please, please, come on, please serve God. I'll give you ice cream if you serve God. Listen, if you'll never have a problem. If you're just you girls, please. Oh, I promise someday somebody will marry you and they'll buy you new clothes every day and you have a nice car. And listen, it's not really that hard. It's going to be wonderful and it's exciting. And listen, I love to preach about how exciting and wonderful it is. And I already told you I'm living the dream, but it does include suffering. So let me just remind you before you say, well, oh man, have the invitation. I'm going to forsake Egypt. Not if you're not willing to suffer. Christ also suffered for us. Christ humbled himself. How about Jesus 40-day fasting in the wilderness? Wow. Yeah. See, sometimes it's almost like we got to try and convince you. Let me tell you, you ought to look at the cross, and that should be enough to convince you. There's no one like Jesus. And here it is, Moses was willing to suffer. Carnally minded people don't make choice to suffer. They're all about pleasure. Oh, young people, if the temperature is off 1 degree, I'm sweating to death. If you haven't eaten in the past 90 minutes, I'm starving. Starving. If we don't preach and be done in 38 minutes and 22 seconds, he's just preaching all night. We don't even know what it means to suffer in most cases. And let me remind you, in context in 1 Peter, the suffering is not just because you have a headache. The suffering is if you take, watch me, such a bold stand for Jesus Christ, there are going to be some people that don't like you. I understand They don't like me. They crucified Christ. Are we waking up? 2018. It's like, come on, give me a pillow. Give me a lemonade. Here we go. Listen, we need to be people that are willing to suffer. And it's big time. Quickly. Moses, you'll like this, verse 25. We already read it. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses chose to forsake the pleasures of sin. How did he forsake Egypt? He did so by choosing to forsake the pleasures of sin. Romans 12, 9, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. You know why some of you can't choose tonight to forsake Egypt? Watch me, because you're addicted to Instagram, Snapchat, snappy, snappy, chappy, and stuff that you should not be looking at. Watch, come on now, look, everybody look at me. There's going to be a whole lot of young people that end up not having a great judgment seat of Christ because they had a phone addiction to perversion. I'm a mixed crowd, and I'm not even going into great detail. You're not stupid. Bible says, flee youthful lust. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to walk away from garbage on this phone in order to be consecrated to Christ? This is big people talk. This is big. Well, you know, Brother Child, you can't expect those young men in 2018 with all that dirty stuff out there. You can't expect them to be clean. Paul told Timothy, watch me, boys. He said, keep thyself pure. Are you listening? Hey, young men in this section, did you hear what I just said? Paul told Timothy, Travis, keep thyself pure. The Bible would not ask you to do something, Brother Don. Amen. He would not ask us to do something that we cannot do. Now, in your own strength, you're going to be a mess. But if you walk in the Spirit of God with the power of God, based on the authority of the Word of God, you can overcome whatever this world's offering you. It will wreck your life to go out there and be in that garbage. You don't need to live that way. You don't need to live that way. Come on now, tonight some of you need to make the choice to walk away from all the lust of the flesh and the lust to the eyes and the pride of life. You young ladies need to stay pure. Don't let him touch you. He loves me. No, anybody that loves you will respect you. Take your shoe off, break his teeth. You're spousing violence, Brother Clark? Sometimes, absolutely, yes. Come on now. Hey, you're home in the summertime. You've got the remote. Mom and Dad at work. What are you watching? Come on now. You need to say no to the pleasures of sin, because it'll wreck and ruin your life. The home stretch. Here we go. Moses forsook Egypt. I like this, 26. Don't leave me. Where'd my phone go? Who did I give it to? 8:54. I'm going 9 more minutes. 11 more minutes. Stay with me. Wednesday night crowd. Some folks have to go to work tomorrow. Stay with me. Please notice verse 26. I love this. Esteeming, and this amazes me, the reproach of Christ. Moses, living in the Old Testament economy, Moses, 1,600 years before Christ, was esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than, notice, the riches, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. This is amazing. This boggles my mind. Think about it. Preachers, think about it for a second here. It says esteeming the reproach of Christ. Moses, but see, in the Old Testament, are you listening? Way before Christ, the incarnate one, had showed up. Young people, listen to me. Before the whole gospel, New Testament was completed, before Jesus had ever been born on earth as a babe in the manger, Moses, by the grace of God, looked ahead in the future and knew there was a Christ and made a choice to choose Christ. You say, well, how did that happen? Well, he prophesied about Christ in Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15. He heard from the burning bush, I am that I am. And Christ, John 8:58, said, I am. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. And thank God there was the great Passover lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, Numbers 21:8. And in John 3:14, it talked about how Christ needed to be lifted up. the water from the rock in Exodus 17 and verse 6 and Numbers of verse 20 and 11. We don't have time to go there. That water from the rock, 1 Corinthians 10, 4 says that rock was Christ. Amen. Are you listening? In Luke 24 and 27 on the road to Emmaus, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, watch me, took the books of Moses and preached to those men there on the road to Emmaus about himself through Moses' books. Young people, here's what I'm saying, and it's a miracle to me that he had the ability by faith to do this. He was esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. You know what that means? Moses, with the help of God, knew there was something better than anything Egypt offered. He knew there was a Savior. Are you listening? He knew there'd be a Messiah. He knew there'd be that prophet. He knew he'd come. He knew he'd die. The blood of Christ would come and forgive sin, not just cover, but clear. Listen, and thank God, Moses made a choice. I'm going to live for what's important for the eternal future, not just the moment. Amen. You know what we need tonight? Look at me, girls. You know what we need? We need some young ladies tonight that say, I choose Jesus. Amen. Young man, watch me. You can't forsake Egypt if you're not going to choose Christ. You need to be separated from the world unto the Lord. Jesus is not the figment of our imagination. Jesus is not some mythological figure. Jesus is not some fairy tale. There really was a man named Jesus Christ. Twice this past spring, I got to go to Israel. Listen, I was to the place where he was born. I've been to that town, Bethlehem. And I was there, and I looked from a mountain across to the city of Nazareth where he was raised. Are you listening? I was in the area of the Galilee where he had his earthly ministry. And I was there at Jerusalem in the Temple Mount where he had been at the temple and teaching and preaching. Are you listening? I went to that place called Golgotha where the man, Jesus Christ, gave his life on Calvary's cross. And thank God, I went in the garden tomb. Young people, I'm glad to report there's no bones there. Up from the grave, he rose. Our Savior is at the right hand of the Father, and he's making intercession, and he'll be there forever and ever. And if you're really a Christian, you're going to see him someday. Did you hear what I just said? Oh my, this is true. Listen, he's going to come in. He's going to take your hand, shake my hand, give you a big hug. Good to see you, son. Hey, Christ is real. Is he real to you? Is he real to you? Christianity is not rules, regulation, routine, or religion. It's a relationship. It's a relationship. I feel so bad if you don't have Christ. Listen, banana trees don't grow apples. And if you're not saved, you're not going to have the fruit of a Christian. You're not going to want to forsake Egypt if you don't have Jesus. But you can have him if you don't have him. And if you do have him, he needs to be real. Listen, the written word will reveal the living word. You're not going to be any closer to the living word than you are to the written word. You've got to have this faith that Moses had based on the authority of the word of God. And Moses chose, he chose Christ. I choose Christ. The reproach of Christ, man. Listen, people will look down on you for being a Christian. But God from heaven looks down and he says, that's my child. And I'm going to bless her. And I'm going to bless him. And I made them for a purpose. And I see how they're denying themselves. How they're committing to Christ. And I'm going to bless their lives. And someday when we see Christ, it will be worth it all. It'll be worth it all. Are you ready tonight to forsake Egypt? Oh my. Moses, through faith, made a choice. Will you? Come, let's not play church invitation. Let's not play church invitation. How many of you know you say, hand up, hand up, okay, my friends get up, or almost whoever else did, so I need to go. No. You and God. So you can fool me. You can have your body in the church, but have your heart in Egypt. Right. Sure. Some of you are looking out the window. Yeah, I heard a noise. No. I don't mean looking out the window like you heard a noise. I'm talking about you're considering the world. That's a bad choice. Devil comes, he's so tempting. Look at this world. This is so good. Oh, he'll bring it out here. Young people, here's what the Bible says you need to do. casting down imaginations. Use your imagination. No, here's what the devil will do. He'll put imaginations in your head that don't match up with the Word of God. If I go live for the world, I will be happy. That is a lie from the pit of hell. You know what you do with that imagination? Cast it down. And bringing into captivity. Reel in those thoughts. Bringing into captivity every thought, watch me, to the obedience of Christ. He forsook Egypt. Not to play invitation. Would you really make that choice tonight? Would you really make that choice? Say, well, I made it before. Have you drifted from it? Do you need to recommit to it? You older ones, hey, come on, don't play. We got seventh graders, first youth conference, wide-eyed. You know the drill, senior. You know the routine. I'm not mocking you. I love you. Thanks for coming. Thanks for coming as a senior. Thanks for coming as a graduated senior. Thank you. Glad you're here. But listen, don't hold on to your reserve of the world. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of you bring food into church, right? You kind of put your stash, you girls and ladies, in your purses. Fellas, we put, come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Just, you know, right? You kind of got your little stash in case you get hungry. Hey, let me say this. You don't need to keep any stash of the world, any hidden part of the world. Give your life to God. He forsook Egypt. Here's an invitation. Eyes open. No piano. Seated. If you'll make the choice tonight to forsake Egypt because it's something the Spirit of God is prompting your heart about, I want you to come forward right now. Somewhere in the middle of the aisle. Well, good. Get up and start walking and come on down. If God's talking to you right now. If you'll make the choice tonight from wherever you're at, just come right now. Come on. You say, wow, you're making it hard. Yeah, absolutely. I don't want to play invitation. If God's speaking to you right now, I'm going to make that choice. I want to forsake Egypt by faith. I want to be like Moses. I want to be a man of God. I want to be a woman of God. Then come on. Be bold, be brave right now. Take your stand. Well, everybody's watching. That's okay. Don't come down to play. You come down to pray, and here's the one invitation. I'm forsaking Egypt. You say, Brother Todd, I'm already living pretty clean. No. Don't give me this pretty clean stuff. You got that stash. You got that one drawer of your heart. Are you listening? You know you got junk in there. Rot in there. We just had a meeting at our church, and I don't know who did it, but somebody by accident left bananas in my file drawer. Swung that thing open, rotten bananas in there. Come on, some of you got rotten bananas in some little corner of your heart. Why don't you get rid of that and throw it out tonight? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't be loving the world and loving Christ. In Balcony, young people in particular, God pricks your heart about forsaking Egypt. Why don't you come? Church family, I know I preached a little bit long, trying to move it tonight. Thanks for staying and being here, loving these young people, praying for them. Take your time right here. I don't want you to rush. I want you to make a commitment. Like a commitment where you can write it in your Bible when you get up from this altar. I chose to forsake Egypt. I choose to forsake Egypt. I want you to be able to put that in your Bible in just a moment. If God's talking to you about being a preacher, go ahead and tell God yes. If you're surrendering your life to whatever God wants for your future because you know He made you for a special purpose, by faith say, Lord, I want to do whatever you want me to do. If you've got sin, secret sin, leave it at the altar. Get it under the blood. Get it right with God. So I've been a little scared. Oh, get your boldness tonight. Get your boldness tonight. God will help you. God will help you. You can do it. Let's all stand. I'm going to ask one question with heads bowed and eyes closed, and Brother Kenny will come and take the invitation. If you're praying, then you can stay as long as you want. Dorm preaching, singing, whenever, this altar, as far as I know, is always open. God moves in your heart. But I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed, who would say this? I'm not sure if I were to die. that I go straight to heaven. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're saved, I want you praying. Is there anyone here tonight? You say, you know, I'm not sure. You mentioned about teenagers and burying teenagers. If my heart stopped right now and I fell out from this pew, I'm not sure that I would go straight to heaven. Maybe you come to church all the time. Maybe it's the first time you've been in preaching service. But if you don't know for sure if you were to die to go to heaven, would you let me pray for you? Jesus loves you, and he would save you tonight. I'd like to pray for you and give you an opportunity. Somebody could help you. You could get it settled. God doesn't want you doubting. God doesn't want you scared. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if that's you, you'd say, pray for me. I'm not sure. Brother Charlie, I'm not sure if I were to die that I go straight to heaven. I'm concerned about my soul. I don't have the Lord. I don't have that desire for spiritual things. I don't even believe I have the Holy Spirit on the inside. I'm not sure I'm saved. If that's you, would you raise your hand high enough where I could see it right now? Would you put it up real high? I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you, hon. You can put that down. I appreciate that. Who else? I'm looking around. I'm looking in the balcony. Looking in the balcony. Looking on the bottom floor. Anybody, come on now. If you're not sure you're going to heaven, you're not supposed to be living tortured and full of fear and doubt. You need to get it settled right now. I'm going to have prayer in a second. Anybody else? You say, pray for me. I didn't raise my hand, but I should have. Here's my hand. If that's you, would you raise it real high? Anybody else? I'm looking across. Thank you. I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you. I'm going to have prayer. Brother Kenny, however you want to have deal with folks, or you continue as the Lord leads. Father, I pray for these who've raised their hands, said they're not sure they're going to heaven. Oh, Lord, you love them so much. And I pray that they would see their need for Christ and be willing to trust him. And I pray you give them the courage and the faith to do so. And I pray this prayer in Jesus' name.